verse number 11 of Proverbs chapter 25. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of this one verse. And then, like I said, keep your Bibles handy. We'll be looking at several tonight. We're going to preach on this subject tonight, the blessing of words fitly spoken. The blessing of words fitly spoken. Look at this verse. Isn't this beautiful? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And you think, what an unusual thing for the Lord to say. Apples of gold in pictures of silver. And it's as if he's describing a beautiful sculpture or a beautiful painting. And what he's saying there is that the right thing said at the right time is worthy of comparison to a masterpiece, a thing of great beauty. And so the blessings of words fitly spoken. Heavenly Father, we would ask, Lord, that you would help us in this area. I don't believe there's a person that could stand on their feet tonight and say that they don't struggle from time to time with using, Lord, our tongue aright and choosing the right thing to say at the right time. So, Lord, may we be helped tonight to use, Lord, our ability just to speak to others, to use it to be a blessing instead of a hurtful thing or a curse in our lives. May we, Lord, learn the blessing of saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We won't go to James chapter 3, but most of you know what that chapter is about. The tongue, here's some of the verses. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And the Bible says, you know, it's a pretty startling statement when he says, but the tongue can no man tame. Well, preacher, see, we can't help it. Well, the Bible says no man can tame the tongue, but God can tame the tongue. You know what? We can't do on our own through the strength of God. We can do it. And we know that we can do it because he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. So I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But here this portion of James talks about the potential of the tongue, the potential of using your tongue as a blessing. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. So the idea of using our tongue to be a blessing to others. I think back at times when people made an impact in my life just because when I needed to hear something at the right time in the right way, they came and said the right words to me. And you know what? That is a wonderful thing. That's a holy thing. That's a blessed thing. And to think that every day I have the opportunity to interact with people and to use words to be a blessing to others and to help others, to say the things that ought to be said, to not say the things that shouldn't be said, not only saying the right things, but saying it at the right time, in the right circumstance, in the right way. You know, there's some things that ought to be said, but it might be best if you pulled that person aside privately and said it instead of publicly. There's some things that ought to be said that ought to be said in a certain tone, in a certain way. We ought to always say, Lord, I want to seek to use the words and my ability to speak words. I want to not just talk. I want to create masterpieces, moments where I am divinely used of God and I speak what I ought to speak to genuinely encourage and help and be a blessing to somebody else. And so let me have you go over to Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse number 6. I'm going to share just some scattered truths in a few minutes, but let me read some more verses in introduction. Proverbs has a lot to say about how we speak and the way we ought to speak and the potential for it being such a great blessing to others. Proverbs 8 and verse 6, we read here, "For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." I love this. What a goal to set. He said, when I speak, it will be excellent things. "The opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth." and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. And you see how Solomon writes down these proverbs, these beautiful proverbs that are a commitment to speaking the right way and saying the right things and governing and ruling our tongue and having laws that we live by, principles that we live by as far as what we will say and what we will not say. Proverbs chapter 18, let me have you go over there. I think Proverbs 18, 21, you ought to mark in your Bibles. You talk about an astounding verse, something that ought to really take us up short when it comes, oh, well, I'm going to say what I want to, when I want to, how I want to. You need to be very careful, folks. Honestly, there's a great responsibility that comes with the way we use our tongue. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life, notice this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I've watched, and you have too, unfortunately. You've probably been witness to times where you hear somebody speak in such a way that gives life. And you've listened to somebody speak in such a way where they killed something. I've watched men kill their marriage with their tongue. I've watched women kill their marriage with their tongue. I've watched parents destroy their children with their tongue. I've watched children break their parents' heart with their tongue. Kill something, destroy something. I mean, I've watched mamas never the same. Never the same because of something that a child said to them. We say it in a fit of anger, walk away, and don't realize the long-term damage that we could have caused. Listen, be careful. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Say, preacher, I have trouble in this area. Well, join the crowd. All right, we can all take a deep breath and relax, because you know what? There's not a one of us in here that can say, boy, I've got this under control. I've got this thing mastered. Yep, yep. 2012. So far, I haven't said one thing wrong. I'm on a roll, preacher. Well, you're ahead of me. So, But we ought to ask God to help us to be very careful. And I want to preach this in such a way because I want us to come to it. We may have to address a few negative things as we look on both sides of the coin. But I want you to keep in mind the potential of the blessing of words and the opportunity to be a blessing in somebody's life and a help and an encouragement to somebody's life through the power of the tongue, through the power of words. Now let me give you several things we read in Proverbs, several thoughts tonight as far as how words can be fitly spoken, and because they're fitly spoken can be a blessing. Let me have you go to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. Look there if you will. Proverbs 17, 27, the Bible says this, He that hath knowledge, notice this, watch this, spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Jump over, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. Notice what it says here, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. That word wanteth means lacketh. So in the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So preacher, how can I be a blessing? Sometimes you can be a blessing not by what you say, but by choosing sometimes not to say anything. The blessing of silence. The blessing of silence. And I think sometimes we need to be careful that we don't overuse words. Now, we're cautioned in two areas here. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Now sparing your words means you're careful about the use of them. If you were sparing water or rationing water or sparing or rationing food, you would use it only when you needed to. And the Bible says you're a wise person if you just cut back on how much you say. You ever been guilty of this? Seems like the more you say, the more trouble you get into. And I don't want to say the right thing or the wrong thing. Well, here's a good way to avoid that. Don't say anything. If you're not sure what to say, who says you have to say a thing? The Bible's cautioning us here. He that spareth his words, talks about that man has knowledge in the multitude of words. There wanteth not sin. In other words, the more you talk, and if you talk a lot, there's just more opportunity to sin. There's just more opportunity to say something you shouldn't say. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so I think you got to be careful. I think we all ought to take this as a warning. And the multitude of words there lacketh not sin. And a lot of times we just rattle on and rattle on and talk and talk and talk. And folks, let me give you some good advice here. Unplanned conversations. Just unplanned conversations. Well, I call so-and-so every day and we talk. Well, let me ask you a question. About what? Your daughter comes and says, I want to call so-and-so. Okay, Mom, can I call so-and-so? Why, what do you need from them? Well, I just want to talk. No, the answer should be no. Amen. You mean you don't need anything? You just want to, yeah, I just want to talk. You say, preacher, now just, come on, let's let the scripture speak here. Unplanned telephone conversations between Christians, I think, have produced as much sin as all the taverns in America put together. I mean, just idle, unplanned conversation. The Bible says, in a multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. And so you don't really have anything that you need to discuss or talk about, no great ideas to share, no Bible verses, nothing helpful. You just want to yak. I promise you, and you know it's true. You call and you sit and you talk for very long and you don't have a plan, you're going to be gossiping. You're going to be talking about stuff you shouldn't be talking about. And so the Bible says that one of the ways we can be a blessing to others is just to spare our words, is not put people in that situation. Let me give you this. Well, I like this saying, and I learned this early. This was given to me early in my Bible training days. Weak minds talk about people. Average minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. Weak minds talk about people. Average minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. And so one of the blessings and one of the ways we can be a blessing is to learn to spare our words. You say, preacher, don't you just sit around and yak? No. I mean, don't you have people just call and, yeah, I do. And I say, yeah, this is Pastor Ross. Can I help you? Yeah, what can I get for you? What did you have a question? What can I do for you? Well, you're not very nice. No, I'm not just going to sit around and idly chat and chit and chat and chit, because every time I do, sooner or later, I'm chatting and chitting about things that I shouldn't. Come on now. Come on. You know what? What do you need? How can I be a blessing? What can I do for you? You got a question you need answered? Okay, just checking in. Well, it's good to hear from you. Yeah, let me pray with you. All right, got to go. Okay, for one thing, I don't know how people have the time. You got nothing to do to talk. You gotta get before God and say, God, give me something more important to this than doing my life, sit around talking. And so there you go. Be careful. The blessing of silence. Let me have you go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 20. Look there if you will. Proverbs 29, this will help you in the training of your children also. Proverbs 29, have you ever said to one of your children, honey, listen to me, you just need to sit right now for a little while and just be quiet. You just need to sit and be quiet. Sometimes we sit in the back, we're on a trip. All right, girls, okay, you know what? That was good. We've enjoyed hearing you for a while. Now all three of you just need to sit, get a book, read it, look out the window, you just need to be quiet. That you study to be quiet. For some people, it comes naturally. Some people, it's hard to get them to say anything. Other people, they need to study this. They need to study this. Study to be quiet. It's a learned trait. You know what? You're never going to hear God if you're always talking. God would like to speak to some of you, but he can't get a word in edgewise. Whatever happened to the art of quietness? Okay, so number one, the blessing of silence. Number two, let me give you this, the blessing of slowness. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Wow. Seest thou a man that is hasty? Now think about this. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope, this is what the Bible says, of a fool than of him. And so you young people, you know, you ask an older person a question and they stop and they kind of look and you're thinking. Now if I ask you a question before I can finish the question, you're blah, 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 blah. You know why? Because you know the answer before you know the question. You know what? There's more hope of a fool than of you. You say, well, old people must just be slow. They're old, they're senile, it takes them a while to think, you know. Why don't they just, you know what they are? They're wise. You've asked them something, and they're not going to be hasty in their answer. They're going to think it through. They're going to meditate. You know why? Because they want to give you a good answer to the question. Or maybe they're thinking, should we even be talking about this? Should I even answer this young man? Is this a proper question? What would be the best way to respond to this young person to teach him something beyond the answer to the question? And I mentioned this, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Think about that. Let every man be swift to hear, then slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so you have the blessing of silence, but the blessing of slowness. Now, most people, they're afraid of silence. People ask them a question. They feel obligated to answer quickly. You ought to study the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of questions, folks, a lot of questions that people ask you are loaded questions. They're asking you for the intent, not because they really want an answer, but they're just trying to manipulate you. And when they came to Jesus with the woman that was taken in adultery, said, writings of Moses says she ought to be stoned. What do you say? And the Bible says that Jesus knelt down on the ground as if he heard them not. That's what it says, as if he heard them not. And he began to write on the ground. Just wouldn't answer them. And then when he did answer them, it was after some time. And you know what? The example of our Lord is a good example for us. So teach your children that. Sometimes you'll hear your children answer something or say something, and they've said it hastily. They've said it without thinking. And this is something you need to train them to do. And those are the moments you say, now, wait a minute. I don't think you really thought about the answer to that. Why don't you take a minute? Let me give you the question again. I want you to take 60 seconds. I want you to think through. Then I want you to give me what you think would be a right answer, a good biblical answer, because you're just answering without thinking. And if you begin to train this into your children, you'll train them to be wise and not to get themselves in trouble about just answering a question. Don't always feel pressured to have to answer every question that's asked you. Sometimes silence is the best answer. You ever thought this? Some questions aren't worthy of an answer. They're not. If you don't know the answer, I don't know is a good answer. You know, you don't always have to try to fake it. Well, people might not think I know everything. Well, they already know you don't know everything, okay? And trying to bluff your way through and give a silly answer is not going to, you know, sometimes I say, you know, well, that's a great question. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. Why don't you give me a little bit of time to think about that and pray about it? I want to give you a good answer. I'll tell you what, give me a couple days on that. And don't be hasty in your words. Let me go. Have you go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 17. Proverbs 12:17. You see, words can be such a blessing. And the opportunity to say the right thing at the right time is something that a person must study to achieve. This opening verse, this idea of becoming a master artist, you know, that didn't happen overnight. That happens with much practice and study. And it's developed in the life of an artist. So a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. How about this? The blessing of speaking the truth. Proverbs 12:17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Now here's just ought to be a law of your life. And I mean, this ought to be a law of your life. And that's this. You know what? You're going to speak honestly. You're going to speak the truth. Lying is a much more serious sin than we use the pulpit time probably to preach against. the Bible, if you ever just want to, honest, if you just want to be astounded at what God says about a sin and how serious God takes account of it and how little we seem to think of it, take time to do a word study on lying or the word liar in the Bible. I mean, God has a lot to say about it. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus equates himself with the truth, but he said this of the devil. He said he's not only a liar, but he's the father of it. And you know what? You think about that. Now think about that. I don't know, try to, you know, you can go where I can't go here. But if literally the devil must father a lie, then it's impossible for you to speak a lie without having had interaction and relationship with some demonic force in your life. People sometimes say, how do we open, you know, Brother Smith came preaching on how you open demonic doors and doors to demonic activity. Young people, look right up here and listen to your preacher. One of the things that's going to open a door of Satan's influence in your life is if you get to the point where you are beginning to lie, and you can do it, and you get in the habit of doing it, you begin to open up doors of satanic influence, because it, according to that verse, he said he's not only a liar, the devil, but the father of all lies. So if he has to father that lie, that means you and him have to have some type of relationship and interaction before you can speak a lie. You've opened a door. We don't make a big enough deal about this. And we as parents, we need to set the example to our children. You say, "Well, I can't understand. These stinking little liars. Where do these kids learn to lie?" Remember when you sent them to the door to tell the salesman that you weren't home? Come on. Come on. You know, they're listening to you on the phone, and you're telling something about something that you're doing, and they're watching you, and they're listening to you, and they see you, and you're not doing what you just told that person you were doing on the phone. And it's just little ways. And they get this in their mind that, oh, okay, so in certain circumstances, it's a good thing. It's an okay thing. And it's not. We got to speak honestly and be very careful, be very conscientious. We won't turn there, but Proverbs chapter 6, remember that list of seven things that the Lord hate? Six things, yea, seven are an abomination to him. You know, two of the seven things involve the sin of lying. And yet within the realm of Christianity, I run into on a regular basis young people that have become habitual liars. They cannot tell a story without stretching the truth, without, you know, exaggerating is lying. If you're telling something better than it actually happened, bigger than it actually was, it's a lie. You ought to be very committed. Us as Christians ought to be very committed to the truth. I gave you the verse a minute ago about Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life." He's taken the word truth and he's taken it as a personal title for himself. So one of the things I say to young people is you ought to treat the truth with the same respect that you would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you ought to treat this matter of the truth. And so, and if it's good for the kids, it's certainly good for us adults also to be very careful of that. I'm going to leave you in in Proverbs, but let me read you a verse out of Colossians for the next point. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." The next way that we can be a blessing when it comes to this matter of using our tongue, using words, is the blessing of grace. Now, I just mentioned that we ought to always be honest. But right after this lesson on honesty, we ought to quickly follow it up with this lesson on grace, the blessing of grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, the word grace is commonly defined as unmerited favor. That means you show a favor sometimes to people who don't deserve it. God, when he shows us favor, it's not because we deserve it. It's grace. And so we are to show that to each other, especially in our words. Now, I said you ought to be honest and speak the truth, but folks, listen to me. Some truth should not be spoken. Okay? I said it, but it's true. Well, was it kind? Was it appropriate? Did it really need to be said? How many of you would admit there's things that are true about you that you would just assume people not say? Amen. Me too. Well, I said the truth. Well, it's true. That's no defense. Because the Bible also tells us that we ought to speak with grace. showing favor. Well, it may be true, but it's not kind. There's some things that just shouldn't be spoken. I know something about somebody. Is it good? Well, no. Then why in the world would you say it to anyone? Now look right up here. Why in the world would you say it to anybody? Well, I know that it's okay, so it's true. Why in the world would you pick up the phone and tell anybody about it? I don't get it. I don't live there. I'm not at that address. Where I live and the job I have to do, I'm privy to all kinds of things, and a lot of them aren't very good. You know, I have to deal with real life problems, real life situations. I see the best of people, and sometimes I see the worst of people. What in the world would possess me as a Christian to become privy to something that is unflattering about a person and quickly grab the phone and have to call four or five people and tell them about it, or get on my Facebook, and I don't have one, but to get on Facebook and make sure everybody knew about it? Are we just nuts? Is there any Christianity left in the church house of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't get it. Somebody does something wrong, and boy, you just can't wait. You just got to get out of school, Christian school kids, and you've got to get to the nearest person you can tell, or you can't wait. Now, 50 good things happened that day, but you're not going to mention them. I mean, in the last 14 months, has anybody taken in an account how many incredibly amazing, miraculous, wonderful things have happened to Blessed Oak Baptist Church? I mean, do you all come to the same church I do? Then why aren't you talking about that stuff? Why aren't you telling everybody about that stuff? Why can you go a month and ignore 150 amazing things that happen and never really talk about that one time, and then one bad thing happens in the church family and somebody says it, and man, that's what everybody's talking about? It's a sickness. It is. It's not of God. And so I say this, and Pastor Jerry's always, here he goes again. Well, here I go again. Come on. Let's get this thing fixed here. That's just crazy stuff. And, you know, the same person that'll be upset about somebody telling about something in their family, a week later will do the same thing to somebody else's family. I don't know. I think maybe that golden rule ought to kick in at one time or another. Or somebody say, hey, wait. You know what? If that was your kid, you wouldn't want people talking about that or saying that. So what? Okay, maybe it is true. You have no business sharing that. You need to hush up about that. Boy, I'd like to find a few Christians around here that just shut some people up, shut some people down. You know, that phone's got a little button on it. You can hang it up or click it shut, throw it against the wall, flush it down the toilet, do whatever you need to do. But, man alive, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the blessings. Unmerited favor, grace. Let's let all of our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And man, we've got an opportunity to share so many blessings and so many positive things and so many good things. And then I wonder why it seems like some folks only know outside of this church about the two or three or four bad things that have happened in the last year. It just mystifies me a little bit. All right, let's go to Psalm. You're not that far from Psalm. Psalm chapter 19. The 19th Psalm, verse number 14. The blessing of grace, the blessing of truth. Let's let those things go together, grace and truth. We see in Psalm 19, 14, the blessing of accountability. The blessing of accountability. The Bible says here, let the words of my mouth, this was the prayer of David, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love that. I just love that. What a prayer. I wonder if we ought to, as a church, just covenant together for the next 7 days to say, Pastor, when I get done doing my devotions in the morning, I have my prayer time, the last thing I'm going to pray to the Lord is this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isn't it interesting that the words of the mouth are connected to the meditation of the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we're meditating on the right things, we're probably going to say the right things, talk about the right things. David said, listen, Lord, I want every word that comes out of my mouth to be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, but I say unto you that every... Now get this, boy, I'm not sure we really absorb it. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And by thy words that thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word. You look up that word idle, you know what it means? It means unemployed. It means lazy. A lot of times foolish talking is just the result of somebody not staying busy enough. But also it's talking about, I think, the idea of idle being, you're too lazy to think through the biblical and long-term eternal consequences of what you're about to say. Just think it and say it. Feel it and spout it. You know? And idle words means words that aren't well thought out. Words that you haven't worked to properly put together and properly decide upon. And only acceptable words. What a prayer. What a prayer. And this kind of fits along the idea of not being hasty. Think about it. Stop and think about this. I'm going to have to stand before the Lord one of these days and answer for what I'm about to say. Maybe it'd be good if I thought about it. We ought to filter every statement and trot it by and get God's stamp of approval and acceptance upon it. Test every word about against what he would deem correct. You think about this. I think it would eliminate the crude things that sometimes Christians say, vulgar, borderline, questionable words, questionable phrases. Young people, I say this from time to time, but honestly, some of you are doing it out of innocence. You're doing it because you heard somebody else do it. But so much of the slang talk, whether you know it or not, just comes from really, really filthy, explicit things that you don't even understand what you're saying. You hear it and it sounds pretty harmless, and it just becomes a cool thing that's said in the culture. And you don't even know that it's derived from really nasty, filthy things a lot of times. And so, you know what? Just say, Lord, I don't want to say anything that I would be ashamed to stand before you and answer for one of these days. How many of you are already figuring out we need some work to do here? You know, this isn't easy. We ask the Lord to help us in this matter. Okay, how about this? The blessing of kindness. Proverbs 31, I want you to see this verse. Go to Proverbs 31. Not just because of the fact that the principle is found there, but because of the virtue of the woman who is spoken about in Proverbs chapter 31. I love this little description of her. And there's all kinds of things said about the virtuous woman. But in verse number 26, notice what it says here. Ladies, if you want to be a woman of virtue, one of the things that you ought to commit yourself to is to live by verse number 26. Boy, it's good instruction for us men too. She openeth her mouth with what? Wisdom. But notice this. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, here's let me tell you. I want to show this to you. I'm going to share it with you one of these days. And maybe I'll just pass it out. I'm not going to preach a message. I'm not going. Did Lori send you that thing in the email? What she found about dad's? What she found as far as dad's 10 principles? Did she send that to you? She sent it to me and the brothers. So apparently us kids have it, and we're keeping it from you. So mom doesn't have it, but I'll get that for you. I got an email from Lori. And did you get it, Bob? Did you get that email? And David said he got it. And she said, I was going through some file. I don't know where she was going through. But she found a piece of paper, just an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, that my dad had handwritten out. And at the top, I don't have it with me, but at the top it says Pastor Ross at the top. Then it had 10 things written down, 10 principles of life, 10 laws. These 10 things I will do. And Bob, you read it. When you read that, it's like, that's who Dad was. That absolutely is who he was. Now, do you know why he was that? Because he passed some laws. There's certain things I will do. There's certain things I will not do. There's certain ways I will treat people. Certain way I will treat the pulpit. There's certain things else. I mean, how many of you like to have a copy of that? All right, $50 a piece. 50 a piece. Buy wisdom, sell it not. I think I'll obey the first part of that verse. I want you to be in line with that scripture. I'm not sure if I want to be, but buy wisdom. But I'm looking at this thing, and she said to me, "Have you ever seen this?" I said, "No, I've never heard him say it from the pulpit. I've never heard him preach on it." I know a lot of guys that come up with a list like that because they want to preach it, but they don't live it. Here's a man that never preached it but lived it. Now, what I'm saying is this: there ought to be some laws that we just pass, and you know what? We don't break that law. The state of Indiana didn't pass the law. We passed the law. A policeman doesn't enforce it. I enforce it on myself. And here, this woman, this virtuous woman, who of course is lifted up in the scriptures, an example to every woman, she said this. It said this about her: she openeth her mouth with wisdom. So every time she opens up her mouth, you can count on something. What's going to come out is going to fall within the realms and the boundaries of what is wise to say. And then this: and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Which simply means, you know what? Here's one of the laws I'm going to pass. If it's not kind, I'm not saying it. If it's not kind, I'm not saying it. But it's true. Is it kind? But somebody needs to say it. Well, apparently not you. Because if it's not kind, it shouldn't be said. And so we see this, the blessing of kindness. Now, folks, not only the idea of not saying what is unkind, but think about this. Let's keep this positive tonight. The opportunity that comes of encouraging somebody with a kind word. I mean, I think most of us could stand up and give testimony. I hope we could. That sometime in the last week or two, somebody just came up and said something that was just exceptionally kind and encouraging to you. And you know what? I promise you, no matter where you were right then in your spirit, that elevated it. That helped you. That was a blessing to you. And one of the things we have to do is say, all right, I'm going to eliminate the unkind things I'm going to say to somebody. But wait a minute. Just the elimination of unkind things is not passing the law of kindness. What she did was not just go around saying, okay, I could say that, but that's unkind. I won't say that. I could say that, but that wouldn't be kind. I won't say that. Why don't you look for something kind to say? This is something that's positive. This is something that she purposed to do. This is something she looked for. Now, watch this. Why is this important? Because now we're changing the way a person thinks. Some people, we start like this because of our carnality and our sin nature, and we all got it. We tend to be hypercritical, always looking for something, and then we say something unkind about it when we see it. Okay, I can't do that anymore, so I'm going to see it, but I'm just going to fight the urge to say anything about it. I got an idea. Why don't you find a new way of thinking? Why don't you stop looking around for something unkind or an opening to say something negative? Why don't you go through life saying, you know what, I have a ministry, and my ministry is a ministry of encouragement. And one of the ways that I can be an encouragement to people is I can look at their lives. I'm not talking about flattery, folks. You know the difference? The Bible, Proverbs condemns flattery. Flattery is saying something nice about a person just for the purpose of trying to get something from them. I'm not talking about lying. Okay? I'm talking about recognizing something that somebody did or said and voicing that. Something positive they did or said and voicing that to them. Saying that to them. Okay? And it's a whole different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of looking at things. I mean, young people, listen to me. Right now, you are forming the type of a person and the way you're going to think for a lifetime. I mean, I've got elementary, junior high kids that already have such a negativity about them. I mean, they just have this radar where they're looking for something to be critical about or upset about or unkind about or a flaw in somebody. And I'm thinking, do you not understand that you will be what you are now becoming? Okay, so what it takes is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world. That's the way the world thinks, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, which means, you know what, I've got to retrain the way I think. Because I'm kind of looking around saying, oh, and I should be looking around going, wow, that's good. You say, preacher, you're just going to live in this pretend world that there's no negatives? No, I understand there's negatives, but you know what? I'm not going to feast on them. I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm not going to highlight them. You know, I'm looking for the good. I'm looking for the positive. And so here, the opportunity that we have. Now think about this. The opportunity that you have to be a blessing tomorrow, as you interact with people. You know, I think this ought to be something that sets Christians apart. The world has become so negative. And so when you look for something kind and positive to say to somebody, well, folks, you talk about light shining in darkness. Because the whole world's become like this. And somebody who may not have any interest in your belief in God and your Christianity and your faith will have a hard time down the road not listening to you present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if they say in their hearts, you know what, I'm going to hear what this guy has to say because I'm going to tell you something. He's always been kind to me. He's always went out of his way to be good to me. And you know what, I'm going to give him that. I'm at least going to listen. And so that idea. Now let me have you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're not going to get this done tonight, but that's okay. We'll get what we get done and then give us some things to think about, work on, and it'll be good for all of us. But 1 Timothy chapter number 5, let's go there. And I'll talk to you young people for a minute and see if I can be a help and a blessing to you. But also to all of us, because I think it applies across the board. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think one of the things that we have an opportunity to be a blessing to with people in our life is the blessing of respectfulness. The blessing of respectfulness. Young people, you stand out and you are outstanding when you are respectful, because in this world, the average young person is very disrespectful. I'm just saying it's a fact of life. People don't even know how to respond to yes, sir. But I'm going to tell you what, they notice it. And yes, ma'am. Please and thank you. I mean, that's almost a lost thing. And you have the opportunity to learn that the blessing of respectfulness. I want to always speak to people with respect. I do. Well, they're not deserving of it. Well, remember the grace thing? I'm not always deserving of it, of everything God gives me either. But God's awful good to me. The blessing of respectfulness. Now notice what it says here. And boy, here's a good thing to learn in life. Rebuke not an elder. The word rebuke there in connection with how you would speak to somebody older than you. Preacher, this is so old-fashioned. No, it's biblical. Amen. It's not something from a different generation. It's something from the Word of God. Amen. Rebuke not an elder. I'm shocked at the tone I hear children take with their parents sometimes. I'm shocked. I can't always control it out in the world. But one thing's I made up my mind. If I hear it around here, I'll say something about it. And I've said something about it out in the world. Rebuke not an elder. You know what that means? That means that you don't take a tone. You don't cop an attitude. You don't talk like you're the one correcting them. You don't approach an authority figure like that, an elder like that. But notice what the instruction is here. But entreat him as a father. Now, consider carefully, young people, the tone in which you address other people. And yeah, this should be the way we talk, certainly to our elders, but it ought to be the kind of respect we show to everybody. You know, careful the tone you take in addressing people. And you should never, as a young person, sound as if you're rebuking somebody older than you. You know, if you disagree with someone in authority, you need to learn how to entreat them. And the word entreat's a very interesting word. It means that you can still come to them if there's something that you're needing clarification on or something that you're in a disagreement about, but you come with the right attitude and you come with the right tone. entreating means to question with respect. So it's, I'm not saying you don't have a right to say anything. I'm saying a lot of times what happens is even if you're right, you're wrong because of the tone you took. So, you know, let's say when I was a youth pastor, two teenagers, you know, I handled a situation and two teenagers are in disagreements with me. So one of them in front of everybody else starts taking a tone with them. I just think I disagree. You know, whether I was wrong or not, now they're wrong. Because you're wrong in the tone you take. If the other young person just says, yes, sir, and then later on comes to me when he's not around anybody else and say, you know, Pastor, let me just talk to you about what happened earlier, and I just want to understand it. I whatever you say, I'll do, but I'd like some clarification, and they come with the right spirit. You know what? I may not be able to change the decision I made, but I'm going to make whatever allowances I can for that young person. And you know what? I have such a heightened respect for the fact that they came to me in the right spirit about something. I mean, I've had people, and by the way, thank God we don't deal with this hardly ever in this church. I mean, rare in my life I've ever had to deal with a disrespectful church member. I mean that. I can say that. I've hardly ever, probably count the time on one hand, the times I've had to deal with a church member that just came to me in a disrespectful tone. But there's church members that think they have a right to do that every Sunday to the preacher. But I thank God that I've had many, many church members come to me and say, Preacher, I want to sit down, I want to understand, and they come to the right tone. And you know what? Sometimes they're right. But they're not only right in their observation, they're right in the way they came. And that kind of person I'm going to give a listen to. And so you learn to entreat. You never rebuke. And if you'll learn this not only with your elders, but you learn this in life, you know what? People have respect for you if you show them respect. For the most part, respect begets respect. And so this idea of the blessing of respectfulness. And that means as I go out amongst the community, I have a chance to be a blessing. Words fitly spoken. And so when I talk to people, I want to give them the blessing of the truth. I want to give them the blessing of grace. Sometimes I want to give them the blessing of not having to hear what I think about it. Silence sometimes is the best remedy. I get with some people and they want a little of my time. And you know what I figure out pretty soon? They don't really need advice. They just need somebody to talk to. And, you know, there's been times I've sat there for 15, 20 minutes. Is that right? Wow, you're kidding. Uh-huh. Wow. Then afterwards, I haven't said anything, and they'll say, oh, preacher, you've helped me so much. And you know, sometimes people just need an ear. They just need to have somebody that will listen to them and care, pray with them. I don't know if I have an answer for all of that, but I can sure pray for you. Let's pray together. Let's give this thing to the Lord. And you know, the opportunity to be a blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you for this study, Lord, and what we were able to, in our time frame to cover tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us all, each and every one in this room, to, share the blessing, the blessings of words, the right type of words, the not rightly constructed phrases, Lord, the work of art statements that sometimes people decades later will recount. That person came and said this at a time I needed to hear it, touched my life, changed my life, helped me. I've never forgotten it. May we be careful and cautious with our words, Lord. May we understand that words have the power of life, words have the power of death. Yes, unfortunately, from the same fountain can come forth blessing and cursing. God, help us to have the victory in this area of our life. Help us even tomorrow, Lord, to say early and earnestly, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.